find out more about this dyslexia font and the books Muriel's Muriel that Rebecca has kindly brought in. We're going to be talking about the book, but the font is interesting and really sort of opens up reading for children in particular with dyslexia and allows them to be sort of in the same learning environment as their peers who are in the classroom. So I spoke to Paul Clark from LexiMouse Publishing earlier on and just asked him to tell me a bit more about the company, the publishing company.
Yeah, we started working with DyslexiaFont going back about 18 months ago. We're working an exclusive partnership with DyslexiaFont. We've created a wide range of children's products from 3+ right up to teens, incorporating the DyslexiaFont.
Okay, and the DyslexiaFont, that was designed by a graphic designer who actually has dyslexia himself.
That is correct, yeah. Dr. Christian Bohr created the font to simply simplify reading for dyslexic users.
Mm. And it's really good, you know, he sort of knows, I guess, sort of the, what it's like to be dyslexic, and he's able to sort of take that and work on it and come up with a font. So tell me about the font then, Paul. How does that all work?
Yeah, so simply it's a simple A to Z westernised font. Christian has developed a font that is scientifically proven to aid dyslexics to read. The font, the letters itself, some of the letters are slightly slanted. They have a bolder base to the letters. There's gap in between each word. The sentences are slightly more parted. So it really helps dyslexic users pin down a line of text.
And I know, looking at some of the research on this, 3/4 of students using this font, those with dyslexia, they found they made fewer reading mistakes as a result, which is amazing.
It is amazing, yeah. Studies have been carried out in the US, in Holland, in France, and currently in the UK at Reading University, doing a study on the font. And, yeah, the results are way up in the 90s, lot more accurate, a lot faster. So, yeah, a lot fewer mistakes. So, yeah, it's definitely benefiting dyslexic readers.
Absolutely. And, of course, if you come up with this sort of font, making it easy for particularly youngsters, you know, to be able to follow reading and to be able to read books like, you know, people in their class maybe at school, it's going to really open up reading, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. The ethos behind LexiMouse Publishing is to incorporate this font into the whole range of products that we produce. So whether it's reading books, activity books, educational resources, and it's to enable all children, in a sense, to enjoy the reading process together. We did a lot of studies and market research within schools, and we found lots of children would be separated from other users, other children learning who are non-dyslexic. And we just wanted to introduce a range of products that really, you know, whether you're dyslexic or non-dyslexic, all children can enjoy that range of products.
Yes, absolutely. So so this is something that people, you know, children in schools can use the font, even if they're not dyslexic. They can work alongside people in their class who may have dyslexia. So everyone works together.
100%. 100%. Absolutely. Exactly that. Yeah. That is exactly the concept.
Yeah, so you're just trying to reduce that segregation, because, you know, that can be really, you know, if your child in school, it's quite a formative time of your life, you know, and you find yourself being put in a separate class, you know, that there can be a lot of sort of stigma and a lot of, you know, negativity attached to that.
Yes, definitely. I mean, like I was saying a moment ago, with the market research we carried out, it's amazing to go back into the schools, especially with the phonics side, for the early readers, for the younger children, to be using the same phonics scheme to a non-dyslexic child, to see a child that's dyslexic sat with the other children reading that same material. Yeah, it's very rewarding.
Absolutely.
For the child, yeah.
And it makes you feel pretty good to see all that, you know, as the director of your company.
100%, yeah. No, it is very, very rewarding. And like we say, it's, at the end of the day, the font is designed for dyslexic users. But the major USP to this font is it can be enjoyed by everybody, regardless.
Absolutely.
Of
oh, fantastic. So 16,000 books sold so far, is that right?
That is correct, yep.
Wow, that's amazing. So a lot of people were taking this up. And tell me about your sort of relationship. We're chatting to Rick and Morton on the programme later. So just tell me how your relationship with her, how did that come into being?
Yeah, I was introduced to Rebecca by Dean Wilkinson. Dean is quite a famous children's author. He's worked with an array of celebrities and writing for those as well. And Rebecca got in contact with Dean regarding the concept of Muriel, and for us, it was an ideal partnership.
Well, Rebecca's going to tell us all about the book and how that's going. But sounds like a very exciting time for you. I know you've got a big launch coming up in July.
Yeah, we've got a wide range of products launching. The Phonics book's pre-launched in January, but yeah, in July we've got a series of books called King Ken, which are aimed at children 7+. We've got a range of children's books under the brand Muriel. We've got Sheerluck following up. We've got comics coming out for children called The Thrombey Times. So yeah, there's going to be a huge build up. There's a lot of media interest with TV and obviously radio. So yeah, it's really, really exciting.
Absolutely, a very exciting time. So if we want to find out more about Lexamouse Publishing, how do we go about that?
Yeah, we've got an exciting website launching in the next week or so, and via all social media. There's lots of PR going on at the moment, so Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, there's massive PR going on at the moment.
That's Paul Clark there talking to us from Lexamouse Publications. We're going to chat to Rebecca. She's sitting patiently in the studio, giving me a copy of a book as well, which looks amazing. We're going to find out more about that and more about Rebecca on the programme after 11 this morning. Right now, though, it's 8 minutes. My studio guest on the programme this hour is Rebecca Morton from Shepparton, who joins us. Hello, Rebecca.
Hello, John.
Hello. Welcome to the programme. Thanks for coming to see us today. It's exciting. I'm actually talking to people on the phone, actually, so it's nice to actually have you here face-to-face.
I guess I would be good. Less nervous if I was in here.
No need to be nervous. No need to be nervous. There's only me and 687,567 people listening. Yeah. Anyway, so we're going to be talking about the book Muriel's, which you've brought down. And they're just amazing. I love the illustrations. You've done the illustrations on this, and we'll talk a bit more about the book. But I want to talk about you because the notes you sent me, your CV must make for this fascinating reading, all the things that you get up to. You are a TV set designer of 25 years.
Yes, I've been working in the art department and been designing sets for 25 years. My first ever job was actually helping to devise Teletubbies very long time ago.
Well, that was over 20 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's
the early days.
So. All those little kids are adults now, with children of themselves, I should imagine.
Do you know what was interesting, actually, thinking about Teletubbies? You know, the baby in the sun? I think one of the tabloid newspapers tracked her down, and she's in her 20s now. That's got to be embarrassing, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Imagine her parents. Oh, we've got this video from the Teletubbies. Do you remember? No, but not again, not again. So how did you get into set design then?
I went to Wimbledon School of Art and I did theatre design and then I messed about a bit and then eventually got a TV gig, which was Teletubbies, which was up in Stratford-upon-Avon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can talk about it now. It's no longer a secret.
Okay. You're not bound by the Official Secrets Act on that one. That's good.
I worked on there for a while and then I moved down to London. I worked at was LWT.
Yeah, London Weekend Television.
Yeah.
That big tower in London.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Absolutely, ITV now. And I did Clive Anderson's All Talk. If anyone...
Oh, wow.
I was there when the Bee Gees walked out. I don't know whether anyone remembers that. Nothing to do with me.
Are you sure? Yeah. You didn't upset them then?
No.
Okay,
no.
That's good.
I've worked on EastEnders and all sorts of family affairs, all sorts of things. And then I had my first daughter, Ruby, who just turned 16 now.
Oh, really? Okay.
I took 3 years off work, could afford to do it in those days. I was painting, I just got a bit bored and I started painting her, not bored with Ruby, but just sort of got a bit sort of like, I've got to just do something creative than looking after a young baby.
Yes, obviously.
And I started painting her a nursery again.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking to myself, my little daughter is lying on her back. She's 6 weeks old and she sees is the ceiling. And then I started painting clouds and sky and kites and hot air balloons.
And your imagination went wild.
Yeah, and then it kind of worked its way down to a beach, and then I started sticking things onto the walls, and it eventually became a set. I was even. It was a set. Okay. I was buying props, you name it, everything. And then my friends saw it and said, "Oh, can you do the same for my kid?" And then somebody suggested to me turn it into a business.
Okay.
So I started painting rooms in children's houses, their bedrooms, playrooms. Then I did respite centres. I did children's clubs. Then eventually into schools. And now I paint whole buildings. I'm up scaffolding. Playgrounds, you name it.
You're a bit of an adventure woman then, aren't you, by the sounds of it?
And now I'm getting a bit old and tired. So.
Stick to the first couple of floors.
Yeah. I have no fear of heights.
Okay, well, that's a good thing, isn't it, I think? So have you always been a creative person then?
Yeah, I've always been a kid in my head. So I love creating environments that inspire people. Mm. You know, and children are the best.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, I think somebody did, I think there's a company did a mural or painted a wall up at the hospital here at St. Peter's a few weeks ago. And, you know, they took an uninspiring, clinical-looking white wall in one of the wards, in the children's ward, and, you know, just put all these sort of, you know, characters and designs on it. And it's, you know, they say it really aids recovery and really brightens things up for the kids in the hospital.
Absolutely. In fact, when I first left, college, art college, I didn't go straight into television. I started working with art therapists, and I'm not a trained art therapist, but I just assisted them, and I picked up all sorts of things. And you know, I know a bit about colour therapy and the effect it has on the mind, and it's great. It helps with concentration, it aids recovery. So this, you know, I think people underestimate the power of art.
Absolutely. It's a really good therapy as well.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a great, I don't know if you're aware, there's a great, in Guildford there's this group called, I think they're called Art Venture. And, you know, there's people with various learning disabilities and things like that. And they go along and they just express themselves through art, because that's their way of expressing themselves and, you know, their creativity. And it's just amazing the sort of things they come up with.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
It really is amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to play a song now. And the first song, we've got a list of songs which you love. And they're very... I love the songs you said. They're all kind of rocky. So the first one's going to be Public Image Limited. Tell me, why have you chosen that?
Well, cutting a long story short, I did a mural which I posted on Facebook, and the author of the books we've come out, Murals, said it reminded him of the Public Image Limited album cover.
Ah, okay. There we go.
I'll explain later. Yeah.
Oh, that is very, very rocky, I think, Rebecca. Probably more rocky than what we usually play at this time on a Monday. Certainly getting us in the mood for a Monday morning, I think. Public Image Limited, Public Image, it's your first song choice. Let's talk a bit about your husband, who is a stand-up comedian.
Yes, he's a Richard Morton stand-up comedian, and he's a composer too.
Oh,
and he's a radio documentary writer as well. So there you go. He's more talented.
Has he been giving you some tips for coming down here for your first radio interview?
Just take your time.
Yeah.
You know, don't swear.
Don't swear. Definitely don't swear. We haven't got a bleep button. I don't think that works now. So. So how did you two meet then?
Oh, a long time ago on a TV show. And our eyes met across the studio, and that was it, really. Over the props, yeah. I was just an assistant art director, and he was a presenter. Anyway. It's an interesting marriage. We've got two crazy children, so...
Wow, I bet there's never a down moment in your house, is there?
Absolutely not.
And so, through your husband, you did a bit of networking, didn't you?
Yeah, it was purely by accident. I've got a Facebook account that I didn't sort of, like... I wasn't really up to scratch with it. And then I thought, I must do something about the murals. I wrote a workshop to which enabled anyone to paint murals together. So it's anyone from 5 to 95, and it's based on the sort of painting by numbers concept.
Oh, well, I'm just looking at a picture of it here, actually.
Yeah,
so very sort of seaside-y, fish and chips, and
that's one particular one, which was at a school in Surbiton, I believe.
Okay,
and I did a time lapse film of children, 7-year-olds painting this, and I posted it on Facebook. And my husband kindly, for the very first time, shared it. His Facebook account is brilliant. He's got all sorts of people on there. And I got a comment from a gentleman called Dean Wilkinson, who said, "God, that looks just like a Public Image Limited album cover."
Okay.
I thought, great, it looks punk. It's brilliant. I'll take it to secondary schools. That's great.
Is this the look you were going for then?
Well, I didn't actually think about it, but he was right. So, and I said to Richard, my husband, who is this guy? And he said, well, he writes kids shows, and he's a script writer. And I cheekily contacted him and just said, look, I've got an idea for a kid's book. And he said, well, I was expecting him to say, well, yeah, hasn't everybody? But he said, no, send it to me. And I sent it to him. And he just thought it was brilliant, and he started co-writing it with me.
So your cheekiness paid off then, in that case?
It has. If you don't get, if you don't ask, you don't get. So that's my motto.
You need to be cheeky, don't you, in the industry? That's good. It's the power of networking, the power of social media as well.
Because very important.
Given the opportunities that you may not have had in the past. So, so this is sort of led you onto the book and the developing the idea with Dean. So what did you two get together and sort of talk things through? How did it work?
We did on Skype because he lives in the northeast.
Oh, okay.
My husband is from the northeast, and Dean had seen him about 25 years ago performing gigs up there, so he's a bit of a fan, which is unusual, and not for Rich, but we got together talking on Skype, and I just said, I've got this idea about this character. I paint murals in schools, and she paints these murals and they come to life. And I've got, her name's Muriel, so it's Muriel's Murals. She's kind of based on me, what I do. I find that when I'm painting murals and I've got, especially animals, I put a little spot of light in their eye right at the end, and they seem to come alive.
Okay, yeah.
And that gave me that idea. And Muriel has a sidekick called Dali, after Salvador Dali.
Oh, okay.
And he's a purple anteater.
Okay.
And he's extremely sarcastic. He's got a very little big moustache, a Salvador Dali-esque moustache.
Everyone is a sarcastic anteater in their life,
I think,
don't they?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And that I chose that because Salvador Dali actually had a pet anteater. And if you Google that image, your Dali anteater, you'll get the one and only photograph of Dali taking his anteater for a walk around the streets of Paris.
Oh, fantastic. So it's educational as well, isn't it?
The whole idea is all the mural characters are animals, and they're all named after famous artists. Mm. And that is to encourage children to look at artists and a bit of art history background, as well as the fantastic Lexi font. But the only thing I didn't know what to do was actually write a plot. I didn't know where to go from there, and that's where Dean came in, and he's written the bad characters, the naughty characters.
Okay. They're probably the most fun to write, aren't they, I would imagine? You talk to an actor, they say, the most fun characters to play will be the baddies, the ones that get up to all this sort of the evil stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the first two books, they're called Wazzocks, which I believe is a northern name. Rather hilarious. And Skellingtones. And they emerge from portals, which are disgusting places in schools, like lost property bins. And, just sort of smelly socks boys' toilets. And,
you sort of wonder what goes on in those things. But now we know what happens cupboard.
Yeah, these portals develop, these creatures come out, and then they mess up schools a bit like gremlins. And nothing to do with the kids.
No.
It's just to do with these creatures.
How many children are going to use this as an excuse? It wasn't me, it was the Wazzocks.
It was the Wazzocks. Yeah. Those socks down that toilet that's overflooding has nothing to do with me.
No.
And these Wazzocks evidently come from, this is all Dean's idea, they come from a dimension called Bazzaz.
Okay.
Yes, which
some real creativity going into this.
Absolutely. And Dean's very much a punk fan, and... Bazzaz is evidently a misheard lyric from White Rabbits.
Oh, okay.
That the Dam covered, I believe.
Interesting.
Ago, yeah.
I actually got that one to play.
Really?
In just a tick. Funnily enough, just by a coincidence, I've got that lined up. but we'll play that shortly. But actually, the book was inspired, I think one of the books inspired by a primary school in Woking, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I was painting this. It was a huge project. It required, I had to have scaffolding and all sorts of things. And it was over a summer. And
the helmet and the harnesses and all that.
Yeah, you name it. Health and safety. Yeah.
Right.
It's this, you know.
Just checking.
I don't get kids to go up scaffolding.
Okay, this as well.
And they asked me to paint a jungle themed mural in their hall, and this is Beaufort Primary in Woking, and I decided I can paint in any style. I must blow my own trumpet, and I can do that. And I decided to paint it in a kind of kooky 60s beatnik off the wall style. So I was painting this big elephant and painting monkeys, and I like to incorporate whatever's in the room within my murals. So I'll have creatures dangling from, you know, lampposts and things. And
that's
I had monkeys that were swinging from the gym bars and I've got a crocodile that's eating a clock and just things like that. And as I was painting these murals, this character Muriel came to life, and I was thinking, these monkeys, what happens if they just start swinging around and going all around the school, and the elephant sucks up paint and splatters it like Jackson Pollock. Hence, Jackson the elephant is in my book.
So this is your moment of inspiration as you're painting this mural in the Beaufort Primary School I'm working. And you went and got permission from the school to use them in the book.
Yeah, when this was a few years later that the book idea came about, because and I phoned up Tina Knoll, who's the head, and I said, would you mind if Dean and I write a book about your school and about your murals? And she said, providing, and I said, I'll be illustrating the book. And she said, providing I made her look a slightly younger.
Okay.
That was okay.
Younger, yeah. How many years did you take off her then?
She liked it in any case.
<That's good.
laughs> And we did a big book signing there last year. The kids.
Fantastic.
Loved it. It was a brilliant day. I was in tears most of the time.
Well, yeah, we were very emotional, which is your sort of idea, and it's actually come to a finished product. You've got a book, and it's sort of a journey for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's the kids even wrote a play and performed it in front of me and Dean, and we had queuing for 2 hours signing books. It was just brilliant.
Wow.
It was my first book signing as well.
Oh, so. Wow. You perfected your signature then in the book?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dean's an old hat. He's he's won loads of BAFTAs for his work, but, you know.
Okay, well, you know, you could follow suit, you never know. Let's hear from The Damned and White Rabbit. And this was the misheard lyric, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's have a listen to this. So that's a Damned version of White Rabbit. That's the second choice of music from our studio guest, Rebecca Morton, who is with us this morning. We're talking about Muriels, and just everything that you get up to, Rebecca. It's just amazing. I don't know how you find time to be a mum for all that. We could do a 48-hour day for you, I think, couldn't we?
Yeah, I get the kids working with me.
Oh, okay.
I do pay them occasionally.
What, sweets or?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure, for a 16-year-old, and I've actually paid her to help make props the other day.
Oh,
so,
yes.
So she's really good.
That's good. A bit of extra pocket money. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's good. So your daughter, what does she do? Is she still at school or college?
One daughter's 16. She's finished at Thames Mead. I've got a younger daughter who's 9, and she's very arty and very sporty.
So everything runs in the family then?
Yeah. They're totally bonkers, actually, I think. They're quite funny as well.
So it's quite interesting, mentioned having you on the programme today, because 20 years ago today, I think the first Harry Potter book was published, The Philosopher's Stone. So there's lots of celebrations going on. And I think you're a fan of Harry Potter yourself.
Brilliant. Yeah. And I find J.K. Rowling such an inspiration.
Mm. I mean, I was reading earlier that the Philosopher's Stone and the whole idea of Harry Potter was created on a train in about 1990, coming from Manchester to London. The train was delayed, and suddenly she had that idea. It's funny how inspiration strikes you, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think she actually saw a child with little glasses, not in her head, and she became. That's what inspired. She saw Harry Potter in front of her, and She's absolutely fantastic what she's achieved. And in a way, I've always wanted to write kids' books, but I'm not a writer. I'm a visual thinker. So I was inspired visually. So that's why I got together with Dean. And I saw Muriel, you know, she's been in my head for donkey's years, and I didn't know what to do with her. So Dean has now dealt with her.
Excellent.
And he wrote the scripts, and I treated it like a film script. I was writing a storyboard. I was drawing a storyboard, and this is my first time illustrating as well.
That's sort of what you what you know, I suppose, you know, from your work on TV, doing storyboards. So you've
I'm more, you know, doing technical drawings and designing sets and stuff, but I treated it as if, I was literally, when Dean and I got together and wrote the stories, we got our publishing deal with Exley Mouse almost immediately. And we had literally 6 weeks to get two books out and 60 illustrations. I was up at 4:30 in the morning and nonstop.
Drawing. Wow.
And I'd never done it before. I was YouTubing how to illustrate a children's book, how to stretch paper.
Yes. We all do that. We all know how to do something. I actually YouTube how to tie a tie up the other day, you know. We all do it. The things we should know how to do. Fascinating, you know, sort of the process, the creative process that led to the book. And what I find interesting and what is fascinating about your books is the font. I know we talked to Paul earlier and he was telling us about the dyslexia font. That's just an amazing thing, isn't it?
I'm just bowled over to have this printed in this Lexi font. It's such an interesting thing, you know. It's being researched. It's been researched all over the world. I think Reading University now want to do some research on it. And it's a font that brings people together. I mean, my experience working in schools, I'm often painting in libraries, for example, and there's a separate class for children who are reluctant readers. Yes. Or suffer from dyslexia, they're taken out of class and taught separately. And I think this font is we're hoping it's going to bring kids together and they can read a story together. And there's not that kind of wall between them.
I mean, that's quite a formative time of your life, being a child in school. And if you've got dyslexia, to be sort of shoved off in a corner in a separate class, that's going to be quite damaging, isn't it, I guess?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So it's just brilliant. I mean...
So you got hold of Paul at Lexi Mouse Publication. Uh-huh. How did you kind of come across him?
I met him through Dean. Oh, I think Dean and him were in touch before. Dean's got some other books out called Sheer Luck and The Font Be Times. They're coming out at the same time with Lexi Mouse Publishing. Mm-hmm. And Dean, you know, we were talking. We came up with the idea of Muriel, and he said, let me introduce you to Paul. And then it was, you know, it was a three-way marriage in heaven, you know.
I love it. Just a cheeky comment from a Facebook post. And then here you are with, it must be just brilliant just to have the book, as a physical product. And you can just see the fruits of your labour and all that creative journey come to its fruition with the book.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And children in themselves are so inspiring. Mm. They're the biggest critics. If you paint something... That's not quite right. I do remember having a child who was a mad motor racing fan, and I had even the colour of the smoke coming out of the tyres had to be exactly right.
You get it.
I think his name was Fraser Ford. I think many years ago. He's grown up now, and I just thought, God, sounds just like he's going to be a racing driver one day.
This is the thing, you know, it's like with children, they sort of say how it is, you know, with us adults, you know, we don't want to hurt her feelings, don't want to upset her, but the kids just come out and just say, it's rubbish or something like that, you know, straight to the point, which is quite refreshing at times.
Absolutely. And, children's illustrations, I do illustration workshops now with kids as well. Yeah. And, you know, I go in there showing them my original illustrations and telling them how to do it. And then I said, take the book that you've read in class and we'll illustrate that together. They end up designing WASX.
Was that not the actual intentional idea?
Well, WASX are made out of disgusting things like chewing gum you find at the bottom of desks.
Do you know what? All kids love that sort of thing. Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of what I call Shrek-esque humour in the books. Which is when you watch a Shrek movie, it makes the adults laugh as well as the kids. So that's what's in the books too. So there's lots of memories of 1970s, if you're that old,
which you're not, obviously you're not. Yeah, you don't remember that first time, Mandy.
This is going to make you laugh and enjoy the books with your child.
That's good. So it's a very inclusive experience then, yeah, in your books.
So kids' illustrations are really, really inspiring, I find.
Okay, well, let's play your next choice of music. We've got Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. This is the Beatles version of that. So why have we chosen this then?
Because John Lennon saw a child's drawing. I think it might have been a friend of Julian Lennon's, and that inspired him to write the song.
I'm loving your choice of music, Rebecca. That's a great song from the Beatles, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. So you're listening to Radio Wave. We're in conversation with Rebecca Morton. And what we've discovered today is the book, Muriel's Murals, in this special font, dyslexia font. And we were talking to Paul in the last hour about the font and how it all works. But it's a fascinating thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. The way it's designed, it was designed by Dr. Christian Boer, who's based in Holland. He's a graphic designer who suffers with dyslexia. Mm-hmm. And he invented this font. And if you have a look at it, you can check it out on Leximus Publishing and dyslexiafont.com. It's a blue font set on a cream background. Children, adults don't have to wear glasses for it. It's spaced out. So it's easier to read. Mm. Letters are weighted at certain points. A couple of years ago, I think it was, on Facebook, there was a film made about Leximus font, or the Lexi font.
The Lexi font, yeah.
And it got 5 million views instantly. And it was just a short film about the design of it. You can find that on Christian's website.
And there's so much thought gone into it. I mean, just down to sort of the background colour as well. I mean, you know, we've all sort of found, you know, if you have certain colours, they can clash.
Yeah.
And you can have all sorts of problems, but it's well thought through. And what I find fascinating is just looking at the font, it doesn't immediately look like it's a special font, so it doesn't look anything different. Just a quick glance at it, it looks just like just a normal sort of book.
Yeah, and that's the whole idea about it. We're hoping it's going to bring children together. Like I said, I often see children out of class having special classes. And it would be great if they could read a book together, and there's no segregation. It would be just brilliant.
Absolutely.
And I believe that Google and other companies have adopted this font for their employees.
But you're the only publishing company to Leximus, the only one that uses this font in books.
Yeah, in the book. I mean, Paul's got the license now, and he is. He's producing books. We're the first authors in the UK to use this font.
That's a claim to fame, then.
Well, yeah, it's remarkable. The only other author that's used it so far is do you remember the Fonz?
Oh yes, the Fonz. Yes. Happy Days.
Henry Winkler. His Hank Zipster books. He's used that font because he is dyslexic. I think his children are dyslexic, and Hank Zipster. It's a well known kids series now as well.
Yeah.
So
it is a great. It's a great.
It's very
thing.
Flattering,
yes. And it's a great idea. This font. I mean, just something, you know, just sort of simple tweaks to the mainstream text, and devised by someone who was actually dyslexic themselves. So you know, they know really how it's going to benefit people.
Absolutely. It's just brilliant. I'm bowled over.
Yes, absolutely. And, I think just making people inclusive, I mean, Justin Fletcher, Mr. Tumble and all that, he does great work. You've seen what he does with Makaton and things like that. I mean, I think that's all awesome. So it's, in a way, I suppose it's kind of similar sort of, making reading and making everything inclusive for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
Yes.
Fantastic.
Brilliant. So where do you want to take this in the future? You've got your book. What's going to happen next?
I see. If you see the books, we've got the first editions out at the moment, which are available on Amazon. But our second editions that are going to be for 4 to 6 year olds, they're going to be available in all good bookshops.
Yeah.
Waterstones. I did a signing Waterstones yesterday.
Oh, brilliant.
They're more picture, but they've got the font inserted within the pictures. They'll be available in the shops. And then we've got older books coming out at the end of the year, junior fiction paperbacks, which I'm really looking forward to.
Wow.
even though it's less of my drawings, yeah. I'm just really looking forward to them because I see Muriel as you know, she's got to be animated at some point. She's, you know, our series of, you know, fabulous cartoon. I want to do colouring books. My lovely 16-year-old daughter suggested those magic colouring books. You know, you just apply water and they colour in.
Brilliant.
In just all sorts of learning toys and anything with the font on is just amazing. So, yeah, and I'm when I think of animation, I look at my illustrations, I think of, do you remember Mr. Ben?
I do remember Mr. Ben. I think I actually interviewed Ray Brooks.
Yeah, Ray Brooks.
Yeah, I've interviewed him in the past. He was talking about Mr. Ben. So, yeah, fascinating.
Yeah, I used to be the acting designer on This Morning, and Ray Brooks was one of the guests.
Oh, okay.
And long time ago, and I think he was on EastEnders, and I got to talk to him, and I said, look, you know, I don't often do this, but I'm such a big Mr. Ben fan. Could you leave a voice message for my 5-year-old daughter as Mr. Ben? And he was so flattered. He said, "Oh, Mr. Ben."
And this was in the morning studio,
he
was
did.
It?
He did. He left a voice message.
Fantastic.
And he said, as if by magic. What? And when I found out, my husband said, "Don't scrub the message machine. Mr. Ben's on there." So Ray Brooks, bless him.
What was your daughter's reaction to that?
Oh, she was just bowled over. She still remembers it to this day. But my husband's a massive 60s and 70s fan. Mm. He's written a couple of albums. One's called The Sequel That Never Was.
Yep, which you can get the CD here.
Yeah, and it's their fantasy themes and as if, you know, about... ITC, you know, the ITC, old ITC shows.
Yeah.
And he's got one track called Conga for One, and it's Mr. Ben as a movie. That's his theme. So I kind of link Muriel that, because I see Muriel's a Mr. Ben cartoon. And,
oh, brilliant.
And,
I love Mr. Ben, though. I mean, it's just such an iconic TV series, and, you know, here you have a guy just going into the shop, and it's like just that magic world that opens up from the front of that seemingly normal shop. It's just brilliant.
Yeah. And you can imagine the movie version.
It
would be brilliant.
Oh, can you imagine it? Well, can you imagine this being turned into a movie? Muriel's movie. That's a bit of a tongue twister, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah, that'd be great. Well, let's hear Conga for One, and this is the Rich Morton sound. Conga for One, the Richard Morton sound. That's your husband, isn't it?
Yeah, that is. I'm very proud of him.
I bet you're very proud of him. Oh, brilliant. So, I know you had a stall at the Shepparton Fair recently, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did a book signing stall there, and that was great. And I met loads of people and chatted a lot, and really positive response about the dyslexic font. And I did a signing at Waterstones at Staines yesterday, during Staines upon Thames Day.
Oh, wow, how did that go? Interest.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, like, you know...
I have a sore hand at the end of all my signatures.
Yeah, it was great. And I'm hoping to get some more, you know, it'd be great to sort of go do other Waterstones. And
absolutely.
I've done signings at schools. Every school that I've painted a mural in recently, there's one up in Chelsea I did recently, and it was great. I did a mural and I did an illustration workshop with them. And they wanted me to do a little area where they put their St. Joseph statue. Mm. And it got my paintings got blessed by the bishop. I was very honoured.
We're in the presence of royalty, I think.
I was very flattered. The funniest thing is the deputy head said to me, he's going to be sprinkling holy water on your mural. The paint's not going to run, is it? I said,
can you imagine?
No, as long as it's not red wine, it's fine.
A bit of a cloth trying to stop it from rectifying the holy, spoiled by the holy water. That would be that would probably make the national press, I would imagine. Brilliant. So we'll see where you go with this. It's going to be interesting. But you know, it's you're going to be bringing out sort of new versions of this.
Just want to continue, you know, with the series of Muriel books. There's two out so far. Make it into an animation.
Yeah.
All of those things would be fabulous. We've got so many stories in our heads. It's a bit frustrating holding back.
Oh, it is
at the moment. And you know, Muriel's a character in herself. She's, you know, she's about 60.
Yeah,
She travels in time.
Well, actually, it's good for 60.
Yeah. she wears DMs and she travels around on a 1970s chopper bike.
A very glamorous 60-year-old. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. She's got. I've always wanted a 1970s chopper bike. I never got one when I was a kid.
Oh, do you not?
I do have a retro bike that I go around in and I get comments. It's got flames. But I have a friend who's just realised that she looks very much like Muriel. And she took it very well. She took it very well, and she's actually offered to be a mascot now.
Okay.
So
I suppose being an illustrator,
I might have to pay her.
Yeah. I suppose Rebecca, you know, being an illustrator, you're going to get that. You're going to have without intentionally meaning to, you're going to be inspired by various people you met, and someone will come along and say, "Oh, that looks like so and so," and you didn't actually mean it, but it's kind of happens.
You absorb. I think any creative process, whether you're writing jokes or you're writing songs or you're illustrating, it's all picked up. Your brain is like a sponge, and mine in particular, I think, and I still think like a kid, and kids are like that as well. So,
do you have to carry a notebook about for you just in case you get that inspirational idea?
I'm a bit lazy for that, actually. You know, it just goes in my head.
Inspiration strikes you at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I do. I dreamt of the paintwalling, what I call the. When people kept asking me how they could paint a mural together, and I just thought of it one morning. It was like an epiphany, you know, and I thought, great, I'll do a light bulb moment, and I'll get people to paint together, and it's a painting by numbers. It's a giant pen, I want to take it to the corporate world. I want it team building and, you know, and charity and all of that. It's just, I love that whole sense of community. Coming together, whatever age.
That'd be so good, you know, for particularly people in a stressful office job or working in the banks or, you know, someone, you know, it's just team building day where they go out and they paint by numbers. That's just what they need to sort of chill out and recharge their batteries, I think.
Yeah, I think I thought of that because a few years ago I was asked by ITV to theme their offices.
Okay.
And I'd only worked in production. I'd never seen the other side of these corporate offices, which were, when I walked in, I was just, they all look the same, they're all grey, they're
something to
have, windows. And they said, oh, can you theme one as Mr. Selfridge, and can you theme one as Britain's Got Talent? And I was like, yeah, and I built these conference tables that look like giant Edwardian cabinets, and they light up and they all sit around. And then they were very good with their budget, I must say. They've got one conference table that sits 23 people, and it's a giant mobile phone. And I was literally sitting at my dining room table thinking, I've got to do something to do with online stuff. And there's my smashed up, broken mobile phone in front of me. And I thought, it's a mobile phone. So I did the drawing. I sent it off to the construction house, and they sit around a giant, and they actually press a button at one end, and the whole thing lights up.
So you had the idea, and then the technical people kind of like
made it
happen.
Yeah, I've got set builders that do all that stuff, and I just sort of oversee it. I've called in scenic artists to do work. I've did a big conference table that is I went up to Emmerdale, and I got their drawings, and I did a big model of Emmerdale, and it's like a big coffee table, and you press the buttons, and the wall pack lights up and everything, and it's like and they put their laptops on menus from the wall pack, you know, like those cushioned trays, and so. But I've done offices where, you know, people are sitting in a swimming pool, not real swimming pool, but
no, okay, because that wouldn't work. That would be health and safety nightmare. Yeah. Sitting in a real swimming pool
and a shed, and there's even smell. It's, you know, I've got a garden shed smell, and I've got an English country garden smell, and you know, and people come to work and they go, we love going into these offices. They're all booked out
motivates
for their meetings.
The staff, isn't it?
Yeah, and they were talking about, you know, motivation and team building, and I thought, what's this team building thing? And this is when I thought of the paintwalling. So I've taken it to schools. I've even taken it to old people's homes, and I've worked with dementia patients.
Yes.
And everyone remembers how to do, you know, paintwalling.
Absolutely.
Painting my numbers.
Yeah, of course. It's quite the simplest sort of form of.
Absolutely.
Art,
I just did it on tables where a lot of people were limited with their movement. So they, you know, painted it on the table, and we put the boards out in the garden, and it was opened by the mayor of Sunbury.
Oh, there you go.
And, you know, they all came along, providing I made homemade cakes every week.
Oh, you're a baker as well. Oh, okay. This is what we discovered, all of your talents. We just dropped that into the conversation. So you make cakes. Is it easy to ask if there's anything you don't do?
Not very good at maths.
Okay. I'm rubbish at maths as well. So, how do we find out more about the books and everything else that you do?
The books are the Murals Mills first editions are actually still available on Amazon.co.uk. Just type in Murals Mills. We've got a younger version coming out into the shops. So you'll see those in Waterstones or Ask or any good bookshop, and you can ask, and they're geared towards 4 to 6 year olds. And as I said, the junior fiction, LexiMousePublishing.com. If you want to check out my murals, unfortunately my mural website's being built at the moment, but I do have my theming website, which you can get in touch with me, and that's www.themestation.co.uk.
Oh yeah, have a look at that. That's amazing. Yeah. Some of the designs you got on there, the examples, they're just amazing. You're thinking people are going to work in these offices, design like that. It's just really going to inspire staff and probably lead to a more productive workforce.
Yeah, I think. And if you type in paint walling on YouTube, you'll see my stop motion film that actually led to the books. And my contact details are on that. So any schools out there or hospitals that want me to come and have a look, I will come along and see
Excellent.
You.
Excellent. It's been brilliant chatting to you on the programme today. We're going to end with Bewitched by Peggy Lee. So why have you chosen this one?
Oh, just because it's Muriel. It's just a fabulous... I'm a Peggy Lee fan, and, she's singing about, being... a witch. Brilliant.
I've been loving your song choices. Thank you so much for coming to see us here at Radio 8 today.
Thank you.